What are the economic stakes of tomorrow's elections?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its day. In a moment, we'll check in with an analyst about the big midterm elections tomorrow, why they matter not just from a political perspective, but an economic one as well. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow is up about 83 points at 11,201. The Nasdaq up about 0.7%, and same with the S&P 500. Earnings this morning from Corning, which makes the glass that goes into flat panel TVs, it saw a 22% boost in profits in the third quarter. Now to the analysis of Julia Coronado. She's senior U.S. economist at BNP Paribas in New York. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Well, first off, we just got some numbers in from the Commerce Department on personal incomes and spending. The headline is that incomes are down for the first time in more than a year, and spending has also fallen. What does that say to you in terms of the economic health of the average consumer?
Well, I think it just highlights how difficult this recovery is for consumers. While we got a reasonable number on consumer spending growth for the third quarter in the GDP report on Friday, really there's not a lot of wage and salary growth for consumers because the labor market is weak, and they're also starting to lose unemployment benefits. So it's a difficult road for consumers.
All right. And Julia, secondly, the election tomorrow, obviously, political observers are expecting Republicans to make some big gains, especially in the House of Representatives. How is the business community feeling about that?
Well, in general, I think investors and businesses are looking towards the election, the expected outcome of the Republicans taking control of the House and probably not quite the Senate. And basically, getting a more divided government is viewed as a positive by investors and businesses. In fact, the fewer big initiatives that change cost structures and increase tax liabilities, the better from their point of view. But the real big issue for markets this week will be the Fed meeting. It starts tomorrow. We get an announcement on Wednesday, and they're expected to announce a big expansion in monetary policy, which will really be the driver of markets over the next 6 months.
Okay. Julia Coronado, senior U.S. economist at BNP Paribas, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
The shipping and cargo industry is responding to new threats exposed by the mail bombs discovered on Friday. So how will this whole episode change the business of air cargo? Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us from London with more. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, Stephen, it's not like this is a brand new concept that someone could send a bomb through the mail. Has this event exposed some weakness in the security of the cargo business?
Yes. Air cargo, if it's scanned at all, is scanned by conventional X-ray, which is actually not very good at detecting very small amounts of explosives, as in this case. We're going to have to move to a system where cargo is scanned by the far more sophisticated equipment currently used to scan passengers' checked baggage. Now, that equipment is much more expensive to buy, and at the moment, it will only work on relatively small bits of cargo, like passengers' baggage. Here's Norman Shanks, a security consultant. Now, he was security chief at British Airports at the time of the Lockerbie bombing.
We're a long way away before we could screen full cargo containers, so we have to break them down into individual packages. Take time, it will be costly.
So it's going to be more expensive, Stephen. Who's going to foot the bill for all this? Well, it cost us more to send packages in the future?
Yeah, in the short term, yes. I mean, some countries accept their taxpayers should pick up the tab for this, but most say no, this is for the shipping companies and the airlines to pay, and they will surely pass on their additional costs. In the longer term, however, these extra costs could be fairly modest. If they crack the problem of getting these sophisticated scanners to work on whole containers of cargo, the system could be cheaper to run because it's automated and doesn't require so much staff to operate.
Very interesting. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
While you're munching on that leftover Halloween candy for breakfast this morning, allow me to make one conclusion about Halloween 2010. Americans spent substantially more on the holiday this year than they did last year. And as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, plenty of that cash went for economic and political costumes.
While most retail's been in the doldrums, Halloween bucked the trend this year, with sales up nearly 4%. And more costumes than ever went to grown-ups, says retail analyst Nicoletta Panteva at Ibis World.
Especially during a time when all we're worrying about is our finances, it's just kind of a nice relief, even for the adults.
Americans spent more than $2 billion on costumes alone, and some of those played off the country's economic woes and upcoming midterm elections. On Halloween, the group Trick or Vote sent thousands of progressive activists door-to-door in costume. Noah Monger and Mariana Lindsay of Portland described their get-ups.
Throwing on some green jeans, a green turtleneck, and walking around with an iPad all night, and I'm going to go as Green Jobs.
So I'm going to be dressing up in Gap-branded clothing, get my cheerleading costume, mix that in, and go as the Enthusiasm Gap.
Rick Haven decked himself out as a revolutionary patriot for a Get Out the Vote event near Jacksonville, Florida this weekend.
The men's waistcoat, very ornate, very stylish.
Haven's an expert tailor and costume maker, as well as a local Tea Party official. He says he sold dozens of revolutionary outfits.
By the time you do the uniform and the shirt and the socks and the hat and the last guy wanted a cape, we're well over $1,000. So this isn't something cheap.
Talk about wearing your politics on your sleeve. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, this item from today's New York Post. A woman from Monroe, Michigan, who wrote to President Obama about her financial troubles, is selling the handwritten response he sent back to her. She says she needs the money to make a down payment on a house. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
In Canada, you can have up to a year for maternity leave. Your company pays you and it says they'll hold your job. But you know how it goes. Out of sight is out of mind.
Companies have had to make cutbacks, especially over the last few years, and it's easiest to get rid of the person who's not there.
Maternity leave makes middle-of-the-night feedings look pretty good. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.